Hello and welcome to the T3 podcast in Vegas. Yes, we are live from the Las Vegas Convention Center for CES 2011. Lady Gaga's here. Piers Morgan is here.
No way.
In short, all the world's strangest celebrities are here. And so are we. Coming up on this week's show, we'll have all the news from the show floor, including smart TVs, bendable displays, 3D camcorders, and dual core phones, which are entirely necessary in our opinion. Ree has been playing with two of the biggest contenders for the iPad crown, and of course, find out just why Lady Gaga is possibly still here.
She could be taking pictures.
Hold on, no, it's not her, it's just someone wearing meat. All that. Plus, hold on a minute, Chris Smith is back.
Hi guys.
How's it going? UK, US correspondent, not UK.
Yes.
I've upgraded.
Man
a little
in the
bit.
States.
He it's is good here. To be back. I've missed
so
you.
So let me introduce him. It is the inimitable Chris Smith, and along with him, the loveliest of lovelies. It's the lovely Ree Morgan.
Hello.
Welcome.
You can't say it. I was going to say something like, you know, bonjour, but it's just hello, isn't it?
Yes. In America. Yes, they speak English.
What up, dude?
Yeah. Pop the trunk.
No Duncan this week because we left him at home.
He's probably ranting that he's not on the podcast.
Yes, but at least he'll be able to watch us because we're in video this week.
Hi, Dunk.
So if you're listening to us in audio format, hop onto t3.com and you'll be able to watch us too. So there's no rant, of course, that means, unfortunately. Anyone else, you know, got anything they want to get off their chests?
No. I think this show has been quite successful.
Yeah. We've had quite a successful moment, haven't we?
Yeah, I feel quite buoyant.
Yeah, me too. Usually at this stage we're ready to die.
Yeah.
And really, really ready, just ready for the home straight. But now
I could go another week, you know.
I think I could. Should we see if they'll have us for another week?
There's always the adult show convention thing.
We
could do a podcast from there. That would be an interesting one.
Yeah. Basically, in case you don't know, at the same time as CES, or just a few days after it, they have the adult entertainment convention. Which is why every now and then you see a porn star walking around
signing
names and things. Yeah.
Sorry, we are in the car stand. Some bass has just kicked off.
Yeah, we should probably mention that we're at Dice Electronics, who've very kindly lent us their glass table.
And this
Porsche. That's my ride over there.
The Porsche. For those in audio, fantastic. There's a Porsche behind us.
They do audio integration, stuff like that. But we should get on to, well, the top story, which is CES, and there really are, there's too many things to pluck out as one top story, so I'm going to ask you each for one. Chris, what would be your big story here?
I think it's got to be the connected TVs. We've seen the Samsung and the LG. You're both calling themselves smart TV.
Smart TV,
Is that a brand name for?
I think it's like an industry
TV?
Kind of.
Well, I don't think it is because they've all gone at it in a slightly different way. But I think they've all just gone up. Smartphone, smart TV makes sense, but you can't copyright it because it's too generic. So,
but I think the best one I've seen so far was the Samsung one, the Samsung smart TV. It has an absolutely lovely, very, very slick interface. The LG one didn't seem all that sexy to us, but the Samsung ones, which is going to be available from March, is looking really, really fantastic.
The thing I liked about the LG one, the Magic Motion remote is quite sweet. That's the kind of Wii-style remote control.
Yeah.
Because it really cuts down on the buttons. When you see what Sony's done, because Sony uses Google TV, and they've just got this comic remote control. And we mentioned it on the podcast before, but actually seeing it in the flesh here, it just is utterly ridiculous. It's got a full QWERTY keyboard on there.
Same with the Logitech.
Two Enter keys.
Yeah, it is. But the Samsung, but remote and the Samsung was quite good as well.
It looks exactly like a phone.
Samsung got a nice happy medium, I think. And also, they've LG's launched an app store. They've got 150 apps, but Samsung have got tons. They're really nailing it.
Yeah.
And the thing that I prefer about the Samsung remote is that you can actually watch a preview of another channel while you're watching your TV, so it's just absolutely fantastic. The LG one, we saw that last year with their magic remote Skype TV thingy, and I just think the Samsung one's a little bit more impressive.
They've also integrated, you can have the full picture on, and then Twitter down the right hand side.
So you can be watching The Apprentice and slagging
off the contestants
at the
same time, which I quite like.
And sport as well, imagine that, getting like updates on sport, tweeting, checking your Facebook. I think that was like when connected TV first came out, that was like a huge thing that I couldn't wait to see them do that.
Yeah. The other aspect of smart TV is looking at the internet on a television.
Yeah.
Does that work for you?
Not really.
I don't get it.
There's nothing so far, not the Logitech review or the Sony internet TV or the two or three that we've seen at CES have really mastered it. It just doesn't, it's like kind of like eggs and like ice cream or something. I just don't think it really works.
Yeah, also I think that, you know, when you're browsing, you usually do that on your laptop when you're watching TV. So you kind of do it both simultaneously.
In fact, a lot of the functions of smart TV, I was kind of thinking, if I was sat in front of the TV with an iPad, I wouldn't need a smart TV.
No.
That's the thing. Why do you need it on your TV?
And also, I guess one thing I liked about the LG one as well is it's going to be built into some TVs. But if you don't want to shell out, say, like £1,500 for a brand new smart TV, they'll also let you buy a box.
Yeah, that's the cool.
Let you have that work with any other manufacturer's TV. So that could be a reasonable development.
Yeah, it's like a £100 box. It's kind of their Apple TV, really.
Sure. Yeah.
And it sort of brings the what LG have done just onto any TV. It works through an HDMI slot, which
is
quite
nice. You mentioned Apple TV, and that really brings it into focus. I mean, Apple TV's had a little bit of a revival at late since they launched the newer box. But if they're going to compete with these... the big manufacturers of the TVs, they're really going to have to up their game, get some new apps on there. It can't just be Netflix, obviously, in the US, and iTunes. They're really going to have to get some Hulu on there, some iPlayer, some catch-up TV stuff to really make that work.
That's where they're
going to be able to do that. It's another matter altogether.
Good stuff. And also with the smart TVs, the sort of connectivity, they're all trying to, you know, if you've got media on your phone, you can push it to your TV, vice versa. That's something I think is really going to take... You know, that pulling... all the content you've got on all your hard drives and getting it up on your TV and then being able to take it with you when you go, that's something I'm looking forward to. That's what makes it, for me, a smart TV, really. You know, aside from you can tweet, you know.
And it certainly beats, getting like, connected. Putting a HDMI cable into your phone and then plugging it into the TV. Like, no one's going to do that. Nokia.
Sorry about that, Nokia. Okay, Ree, you have been ODing on tablets.
I have been. I've been taking my tablets this year at CES.
Because we did cover some tablets last year. And
we did.
They were a bit pants.
A bit. I think the one I saw was last year. I think the one that sticks in my mind was the Lenovo tablet, which was that hybrid. But this year, actually, as expected, to be honest, we did predict that we'd see some tablets. And the two that... Well, I've actually had to play with them all. So I'm going to start with my least favourite and work my way up.
Okay.
My least favourite, I think, the Panasonic Viera tablet. I wasn't convinced. It looked like a tablet, but I think the connection between your TV and the tablet, that worked really well. But it just wasn't very
responsive. You just sort of flick it
up
onto the screen.
Onto it,
It's like a physical flick.
That's very lovely.
So you're kind of looking at, you might be looking at catching up on some sport, and you're like, oh, I like the look of that. Flick it, and it'll go up to your Panasonic Viera.
That's something you can show off.
But, you know, for me, tablets, that wouldn't be why I'd be buying a tablet. And it wasn't very responsive. It could have been a demo model, but it didn't feel as slick.
And I remember you mentioning, Ree, just how thick that thing is.
It's huge.
They're known as slates. I mean, it looks like one of the Roman slates. It's absolutely massive. So.
The Ten Commandments could have been written on it.
So the Panasonic...
That would be my low. Then Sharp, their Galapagos. That... I don't know why it's called that. But that was... The 3D is what they're really pushing on that, the Galapagos. It's kind of... It can shoot 3D pictures in a way that you kind of... The way you do it is you take a picture, then you have to move it slightly to the right. And that's how you do the picture.
Okay. That makes sense.
And then it kind of looks... A bit of 3D.
Should they have waited for the Galapagos 2 to do 3D? Should they have kind of nailed the whole tablet experience first?
The mentality, I think it is, people are coming out with tablets, let's just do something different.
Let's try and raise the bar.
Yeah, let's just do that.
They didn't raise your bar?
No, they didn't.
Interesting thing about that as well, haven't they got a 4-inch model as well?
Yeah, that's the one I played with. It was tiny.
Which is even smaller than the original Dell Streak.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is about this one as well, it's not a phone. You can't make phone calls. No. So basically, it's a PNP, right?
Yeah.
PNP running Android.
So it's an iPod Touch, essentially.
Yeah.
So how can you... I mean, by definition, you think a tablet has to be bigger than, you know, it has to be 7 inches at least.
Yeah.
So it's such a grey area with what is and what isn't a tablet. I think it's the buzzword, so everyone's calling their device a tablet.
Everything,
now. Anyway.
But then I think moving up, I'm going to go with. I'm trying to think.
Well, that crazy Samsung one?
The Samsung one. That looked good to me, and like that hybrids last year, Lenovo, I was like, I'm not convinced by it. Samsung one looked really interesting, so it kind of, it's a tablet, then you slide it up and you get the keyboard.
You get the full keyboard.
All individual keys. Keyboard was really nice, quite a good size. Tablet screen, that was quite nice. Running Windows 7.
Not so nice.
Which was the problem.
How heavy was that as well?
It wasn't that heavy. Okay. They said it was 2 pounds, but I don't know how much that is in grams. I think it's like 800 grams.
Could be.
I think it's around that.
Tweet us now if you know how much 2 pounds is. Liam, the cameraman, is nodding.
I think it is 800 grams. And then,
now he's not looking so certain.
But that worked really well. I think it had all the functionality of the Windows 7. So I think when you use it with the keyboard, it works well. But
they may as well get a laptop.
But then the trackpad is tiny. Okay. Like, it's really small. It's basically this. Mm. But you can slide it. So
great.
And the action, as Duncan would say, it's not a smooth action. It hasn't got a smooth action.
Okay. So right, we must be getting into your top two or three by now.
I've only got one left.
You've got one left. Hold on. Surely you've got two left.
Have I got two left?
Yeah, you have.
What's my other one?
One begins with M.
Oh, yes, it does indeed. Right, my Motorola.
Yes.
Zoom. Motorola Zoom, that's my number two. I didn't actually get to touch it. They were so precious about it. The woman would not let it out of her hands.
So this is running Android 3.0.
Android 3.0
which
Honeycomb.
Which is designed for tablets as opposed to the Samsung Galaxy Tab.
Yes, exactly.
Which is just running
on
Android.
And it looked really, really slick. It seemed like the problems the Samsung Galaxy Tab had, everyone questioning, it seems like a stretched phone. This looked like it wouldn't suit a phone. This is for this size of screen.
Yeah.
And they had some really cool features on there. And I was really impressed with that. I really look forward to seeing that. Seeing it on other tablets as well.
It's a bit of a relief, that, really, isn't it? That 3.0 has come along and, wow, you know, it does actually work on tablets. Because, obviously, with the Galaxy Tab and some of the Arcos ones we've seen, Android just looks horrible.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work and none of the apps are optimised. So, hopefully, with 3.0, we are going to see tablets that can really challenge the iPad now because of this lovely new specifically designed operating system from Google. It should be
we should mention as well, it's not that we're dissing Apple at CES here, but Apple don't come to CES.
No.
So, you know, this is the free reign for everyone else to get their products up there.
It's their
and
time,
you know, Apple's gonna come along with the iPad 2, presumably.
Yeah.
And probably blow them all out of the water, but we'll see. So if that's your number two,
it might have some trouble blowing this one out of the water. I was so surprised when my number one is the BlackBerry Playbook. I was so impressed by it. Everyone was a bit reticent about it. Everyone was a bit worried about it. Is it going to work? It's called the Playbook.
Because it doesn't run Android. It obviously doesn't run Apple.
It runs BlackBerry's own tablet OS.
Yeah, it's not even BlackBerry software from the phones.
Nothing.
It's completely new.
It's completely new. I think it's QTX or QTX.
Yeah, which is not
based on that.
Consumer-wise, that is new, but it's actually something that's been running on lots of things for years.
It has. And the thing that really impressed me was the multitasking. So the OS itself, you get a 7-inch screen, but there's a bezel around it. But the bezel is also touchscreen.
But
everything is touchscreen, and it's.
But it kind of looks like the size of a 10-inch.
Yeah,
iPad,
it does. Yeah.
But you're only getting a 7-inch screen. I didn't.
But
does that work?
Well, it does work because you don't feel. It doesn't feel like you're looking at a small screen.
Yeah.
I think.
But for for watching video or something like that, you're being
it's
robbed.
It's a bit smaller. But I think I was won over by the fact that I could use the bezel.
Okay.
It wasn't just. Redundant around the side. So you do gestures. The gestures are really interesting. There was another thing they did where you'd kind of flip the bezel up to kind of close something, flip to the side. It was really...
So given that this is a completely new UI, none of us have ever played with it before, having a go with it first time, what did you feel about it?
It was really easy to use, easier than using a BlackBerry, the BlackBerry Torch OS, much easier than that.
Yeah,
but
the
best thing about it was the multitasking. I've never seen multitasking like this, true multitasking. We managed to get a 3D video game running, a HD video running, music and browse all at the same time. We all had them open.
That's pretty
and
phenomenal,
It was amazing.
And in the US, they're going to get a 4G version as well.
Yeah, they're getting a 4G. It's Wi-Fi only, and it's going to launch before the end of March, and then 4G will quickly follow, and then all the rest of us will be able to get it.
So when are we going to get it in England?
Awesome.
We're going to get it after March. End of March US and then soon after
for
the UK. They wouldn't tell us how much it was going to be.
Interesting.
But if it's Wi-Fi only, it's not going to be on any contracts.
Is it going to undercut the iPad, do you think?
I don't think it is. BlackBerry's always been. I can't see.
Especially if it's
that.
A corporate thing.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to go for a corporate dollar.
Like really premium.
Okay.
The money man.
I mean,
what about apps? Are they going to be...
Yeah, apps are always going to be launched. So App World, BlackBerry App World is going to be on it when they launch. But we didn't get to play with it today because it wasn't on there yet.
Good. Okay. If you've done tablets and you've done smart TVs, I guess I'll go with the mobile phones, which launched.
Yeah.
Dual core.
Right.
Which is entirely necessary, can I add, on a mobile phone. Speaking of someone who is currently using the HTC Magic.
You're still on the Magic.
Yeah. So I'm looking for my replacement. So you know, I think I'll just leap a few generations and go dual core. But LG were the first to launch a dual core mobile phone because they had the first press conference. So, so yeah, they got in there with the two times.
They always have it very early.
Yeah. But it's Motorola really that kind of again stole the show on
LG. They're storming, aren't they, Motorola?
Dual core mobile phone with a dock.
Yes.
So it'll plug into a desktop screen and keyboard, and then it will run its software on a full screen. It's kind of like using Linux or something like that.
Yeah.
But they've done it. It's really slick, actually. You plug straight in, up it pops on the screen. Whatever you're working on the phone is there on the screen. It's got full Firefox on there. You can loads of really nice media apps and things like that. And then there's a little small sort of netbook kind of thing. It's just a dumb machine, a screen and a keyboard. Again, you plug the phone in and you can take it with you. Which is nice. It was amazing to see a phone essentially powering a laptop or a desktop machine and doing it really well. I kind of question the fact that, you know, you've got to plug it into a dock and it's kind of sticking out the side. And if your phone isn't plugged into this little thing, it's completely redundant. It can't do anything by itself. I'm not so sure. It's a nice proof of concept.
Yeah.
But if you remember Palm with the Folio, they came up with that concept whereby you'd have your Palm and then next to it the Folio, essentially a dumb netbook, and it would connect wirelessly.
Yeah.
That to me is how you should do it. And I put that to Motorola and they basically said, yes, but when it's in a dock, it charges the phone as well. So that was their sole reasoning for it. But really cool to see a phone doing that.
And it's called the Atrix, isn't it?
Atrix. Yeah, it's the Atrix. And in the States, it's the Atrix 4G. It's going to be coming out on Orange in the UK.
And also, you know, isn't it awesome that we've reached that point now where our mobile phones need dual-core processors?
Well, they don't need dual-core processors because, you probably need a dual-core processor if you want to essentially power a netbook and a desktop from your phone. But that was the thing with the LG one. It's like, okay, it's got a dual core processor. What am I going to do with it?
You're like, right. Oh, it's good for gaming.
Yeah,
it's
great.
Right.
You know,
okay.
But essentially, anything you probably ever want to do on the phone would be powered by a normal processor. But, you know, hey, we're probably going to get, you know, HD video apps that will require it all. As soon as the processing power is there, the software follows later, isn't it? That's how it works. So, okay. So smart TVs.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Tablets.
Dual core mobile phones. Those are the key highlights from CES. But there's so much more to talk about.
Much more.
So let me say, here is the CES news. As if last year it was about 3D TV, this year it's 3D camcorders that are stealing the show. Lots on display, but it's Sony that's been stealing the limelight with the first full HD model that uses two full HD cameras to shoot its 3D.
That'll set you back $1,500 when it lands in the US, but if that's too much for you, how about Sony's $250 3D Bloggy? It shoots HD and will work on any 3D screen, or with some slightly dodgy red glasses.
Red and green glasses. Like the old cinema ones.
Right,
they're so dodgy.
I thought it might be just red. That would be really dodgy. It'll even work on YouTube.
In case you thought Apple was going to let CES have all the limelight, oh no, it's launched the Mac App Store, registering 1 million downloads on day one. Straight to the top of the paid apps chart was Angry Birds, with Twitter taking the top free spot.
And even though Apple isn't officially here, it's not stopped them making the CES news. Several iPad 2 mock-ups have appeared on third-party accessory makers' stands. The indicator rear-facing camera and larger speaker grill and a slimmed-down, flatter design. I saw a cardboard cutout of one. I don't think that was it.
Microsoft's been strangely quiet at this year's CES, with its keynote failing to hit the high spots. One announcement that did stand out was Avatar Kinect, a ramped-up addition to the motion control camera.
Nothing to do with a certain 3D film. Avatar Kinect will track your facial expressions from nods and winks through to frowns and yawns, creating a personalized avatar which you can unleash on the virtual world. It lands in spring as part of the Xbox Live Gold membership.
bonus.
Did you do all those facial expressions then, as I was
saying?
I was
going through my full repertoire. I liked it. Yeah, that really was the highlight.
I can't believe Microsoft had expected. Well, last year they didn't really do much either.
Well, last year they had Bing, Bing, Bing.
No, they didn't. That was the year before.
No, that was last year.
Slate as well, last year.
I'm sure Bing, Bing, Bing was the year before.
Oh, they all merged into one. But we were on the Microsoft stand last year. Yeah. There was so much to show off.
We just liked the stand.
Yeah, that was the main reason we were on the Microsoft stand. Very plush, although they do have incredibly plush carpet on the Microsoft stand this year.
You
could almost get a kind of a several feet spring off that carpet.
Oh, wow. But it's unbelievable. You must say it's nothing compared to the Dice Electronics stand in the North.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, nothing.
Let me say, Dice Electronics, a leading provider of ultimate sound quality integration solutions.
Yeah, you can get live radio, more music, and less work.
Remember,
the place to be.
Dice. Anyway, nice guys at Dice. Time to see what you've been tweeting to @T3DOTCOM. Chris.
Yep. Well,
read away.
Yeah, some reaction to the iPod 2 mock-ups. Tom Mann says the first gen iPad looks better. Rounded design suits bigger devices. And Susanna A simply says, I want one.
I think Susanna A
simply says.
Susanna A simply says, I want one.
Okay, what, the cardboard cutout or the actual device?
Yeah.
Who knows?
You always give me the hard names. Dilps
Singh
tweets, any more news in this so-called PSP mobile phone? No.
Well, you say no, nothing here.
No, nothing
which
here.
Is true. But there's been more leaked images of...
And there's... Go on.
Sorry to say, it does look... You know the mock-up that we slammed and dissed and said, no, that can't be a PSP phone. It really does look like that's it.
We thought we might get it on Wednesday or Tuesday at the Sony press conference when they brought out their mobile guy, but they released the Xperia Arc instead.
Nice looking phone.
We're guessing next month on the Mobile Congress.
Yeah, because I'm thinking if they teamed up with Bravia, the screens now. So the Bravia on the Arc is the Bravia technology screen. So there's obviously some team-ups. So fingers crossed.
So PSP coming. Yeah, I think Mobile World Congress is when we'll officially hear stuff. But if you look on T3.com, you'll see the latest images. Like I say, I'm not impressed anyway. But maybe in the hand it'll, you know.
I doubt
it'll
it.
Be better. Anyway, Phil Renwick tweets to say, Motorola's new tagline, Life Empowered, that's M-P-O-W-E-R-E-D. Who do Motorola think they are? BMW? For coffee, Motorola, your phones are Shih Tzu. I did slightly edit that from the original. Sorry about that.
Yeah, and also their tablet's called Zoom, but it's spelled X-O-O-M.
Well, they've always gone for ridiculous spellings.
Oh, yeah, like Razor, isn't it?
Razor.
Yeah, Razor.
And, you know.
Blazer.
Crapper, you know.
What is it now with gadget makers giving really ambiguous names to their stuff? Surely the whole idea is to have an identity that people hear it and see it and they think that's it, but there's so much ambiguous ill-spelled badness out there.
Yeah, listen up.
Well, I can't even spell Galapagos, so it'd be Sharp in big trouble there.
Sorry, Sharp.
Now, every year at CES, there are some products that are stranger than others, and there are some creative directors who are stranger than others. Lady Gaga is creative director of Polaroid. Yes, Polaroid. And she's been launching their new camera. Here is how it went down.
This is the first ever pair of sunglasses that can be worn out to protect your eyes from the sun, and they can also take pictures. So these glasses can be worn in public. To walk around, you can take them to a nightclub, you can come to one of my shows and wear them. Take pictures of me while I sing on stage. Bobby won't be there for that. He'll be backstage. But these are something that I envisioned many years ago. For those of you who have seen me live when I did the Spain Ball tour, I made these glasses out of iPod screens that I strung together to create glasses that could play movies. And I thought, wouldn't it be wonderful if these were functional? So we created the first ever camera that actually is sunglasses also.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if these iPods
that I strapped to my face could become an actual product?
Wouldn't it be wonderful?
Yeah.
Yes, it would. And you can wear them in public.
Well, the natural extension of this is that the kind of, you know, fridge she wears as a hat is going to become an actual, you know,
Or a phone that she wears as a hat.
Perfect.
Or 3D TV.
Yeah.
Perched on her bum.
I can't wait for the next creation from Lady Gaga.
So, yeah, just to explain, if you didn't quite get the gist from Lady Gaga there, Polaroid has brought out some sunglasses, which have a camera built in and two LCD screens. So people, I think the idea is that people can see what you've taken a picture of.
Right.
So you take the picture and they can see in your glasses.
Nice.
I mean,
well, right. You know,
so
you
can
what,
you see what you've taken a picture of?
Well, that's the bit I don't get, because they only had them strapped on the bonce of a naked gold mannequin, which I didn't understand the reference.
Well, I'll tell you what, like,
but I haven't actually been able to handle
it's
them.
It's kind of just people like gold mannequins. That's who's going to wear these things.
But it wasn't like, oh, look, it's, you know, out of what's the name, out of Goldfinger. It was just like they'd gone into H&M.
Oh, right.
Rugby tackle the mannequin, taken its clothes off and stuck it on the stand.
You can't even take pictures glasses there.
So the, no, the glasses will take pictures and then they show the pictures.
Do you have to press something or does it...
Wink maybe.
Looking at you.
All right, darling.
Well, so, what, like, last
but she was saying, this is the future of cameras.
No, it's not, love.
From the words of Chris Smith. Well, sorry, love.
I mean, I'm impressed by this. Last year, the T3 Awards battle for innovation of the year was closely fought. We had the iPad, PlayStation Move, Microsoft Connect.
Yeah.
This year, it's a lock.
It's a shoe
in January.
Absolutely.
Let's just call it now.
Let's not even have a vote. Lady Gaga's Polaroid glasses.
If they win, there we are. This is like...
You win it first. These are clearly going to take off. Everyone's going to be wearing them. Yeah, there's going to be a whole like range.
Next year's CES, we'll be doing the podcast with them all.
Absolutely, there'll be like cufflink phones. Oh man, all sorts.
Well, lovely.
Amazing.
Well, anyway, thank you for that, Lady Gaga. Any other slightly out there products you've come across?
I've gone straight for the main.
Beridel.
Yeah. Me, I mean, most of the time I've been locked in the editing suite.
That's the problem, because CES is huge. We're in one tiny part of it here. This is the automotive hall. Then there's the main central hall where a lot of the big guns are. North Hall, South Hall. It goes on and on and on. Yeah. It's kind of like the NEC at Birmingham multiplied.
But not as depressing as the NEC in Birmingham.
And you can never get out either, can you?
No.
You can never get out of the casinos in Las Vegas. They never signpost the exits.
No windows either.
No. And a couple of the guys here, you know, they spend an hour looking for the Dell stand. They still don't know where it is. An hour they were wandering around.
One thing, Stefan, my cameraman, picked up. I think this is brilliant. Okay, the little iPod Touch. There's been a few accessory makers. The iPod Nano, I should say. Quite a few accessory makers have turned it into a watch.
Yes.
Nothing new there. These fellas, though, they've got a very nice leather strap. It does look quite high-end. And a good, really like solid metal bracket for the iPod to go in. It looks pretty good. But it doubles as a bottle opener.
Genius, you know?
That's genius. What you should be doing, Lady Gaga. Okay, let me tell you, that is where it's at.
That is a contender.
iPod wristwatches that double as bottle openers.
But don't you have to take your iPod Nano off?
Yes, you do. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I didn't say it was practical.
No.
Just functional.
Just awesome, basically. All right.
And anyway, that is it for another CES.
Life in Vegas.
See you guys next year.
There is tons, I mean tons, of info, news, videos, all sorts on t3.com.
Just go to spotted.
CES. Hi, folks. CES2011.t3.com, where you'll find just about all you could possibly wish for. Remember, T3 will also be out. When's the CES edition coming out? When's the next one?
The Mac.
It'll be
out. Actually, there's one out now, which is out on the 6th of January. And if you get any iPod edition, that has got CES videos in.
Oh!
Which we are putting on live. But the next magazine will now be out in February. The first couple of weeks.
So if you've got your iPad, you can get all the latest CES stuff straight there. Or, of course, just wait for the print edition. Or buy an iPad and get it straight away. Yeah, I think that's probably
that's
the best.
That's a good economy.
Excellent. We, of course, are on iTunes every Friday. Till next week, then, when we will no longer be in video. Just in plain old audio. Goodbye. We'll see you then.